So it's Nick Harcourt for 88.5 Live at Home. And we just met for the first time. It's Mike Rosenberg. He is passenger at home in Brighton, where it's about 8 o'clock in the evening as we're recording this. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm all right. We were just talking about watching some football or soccer, as it's known over here. Damn. All right. What have you been up to, man? I mean, have you been spending your time the last few months or the last year, I guess?
Yeah, it's been a weird year for everyone, hasn't it? I mean, I had a bunch of touring planned, you know, an album coming out and all of that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was all kind of cancelled. So it's been funny, man. I've spent pretty much the last decade on the road. So to suddenly have so much time at home was a little bit confronting early on. And to be honest, I've just thrown myself into writing songs, and I've written an awful lot over the last year and recorded an awful lot and just kind of kept any plate spinning that I could, really, in the musical world. Obviously not touring, but everything else has kind of been kicking off. Yeah.
So you just released songs for the Drunk and Broken Hearted, but that was actually done a while ago, right? You had to push it back because of COVID.
Yeah. So it was sort of finished early 2020, and it was meant to come out in May. And it just felt so depressing to have put so much love and work into an album and then to kind of just punt it out into the universe without any means of supporting it, really, you know. So I held it back, and I'm extremely glad I did now, because I ended up writing two or three new songs, and I think it's a much better record for it. And it's a real lesson, I think, moving forward, you know, moving forward into other projects. I think it's really good to just sit with an album once it's done and just, you know, usually I'm in such a rush to sort of mix it and master it and release it and get touring. And there was something really beneficial about the extra time, for sure.
Well, you're a busy guy. I mean, you write and record and release a lot of music. And I'm guessing you have up until now sort of gone with what the traditional cycle is, right? You write an album, you record it, you put it out, and then you go tour for a year or whatever. Having had the opportunity to sit on it, as you said, and then look at it as it was, you said you wrote some more songs. What was that moment where you felt like, I could make this better? I think if I put something else on. I mean, how did you do that? Did you drop anything? Did you add things? Did you move things around?
Yeah. So I ended up taking two or three of the original songs off. And it's not because they were weak songs or worse songs. For whatever reason, sometimes when you record songs, they really come out beautifully in the studio, or something never quite sits right with them. And I think for those two or three songs, whenever I would listen to the album, there'd just be something about them that I just wouldn't be as excited about them as I was the other songs. And usually I think that kind of comes with the territory of an album. You know, you record 11 or 12 songs and you can't expect all of them to you know, just come out beautifully. But I think because I had the time, and it's like, well, hang on a minute, I'm holding this back anyway, and I've just written these other songs, which I absolutely love, and seem to fit with the rest of the songs as well. You know, it's no good just tacking on two or three songs that are going to feel completely different. I'm still very old fashioned as far as compiling an album goes. Like, it has to be cohesive. It has to make sense with itself, and it has to take people on a journey, you know. And so I guess that was my one concern, you know, adding songs that were written later on to a group that was already kind of there. But yeah, I feel like it was a really good move, and actually another good lesson about not being too precious about that kind of stuff, and really just going for the best work that you have and throwing it together, you know.
Where do you sit on the albums versus EPs or singles conversation that's been going on for a couple of years now? But you've been traditionally a guy who records albums and then drops singles in between or whatever. But where do you sit on that debate right now?
I mean, I love the concept of a record, of an album. I grew up listening to albums, as I'm sure so many of us did. And from an artistic point of view, it's a wonderful thing to be able to put that amount of songs together. You know, 10 to 12 songs, I think, is a really, you know, it's basically a set list, isn't it? And it's a really great amount of time to be sharing your music with people. And I love that. I love, you know, figuring out what songs are going to work next to each other. And as I said, really trying to take people on a journey through it. So of course, the way music is being consumed now, it is much more, in some ways, much more about those single tracks. But I still think there's a space for albums. And I know an awful lot of people that still love to listen to music in this way.
And clearly as well, you're very much into the art of sequencing. How much time do you spend putting your songs together into, and how do you do that? Do you start with the first one? Do you start with the last one? I mean, how do you put that collection together?
Yeah, good question. I think every album's different. I think usually you have a good idea of what you're going to start with and what you're going to end with. And then there's something in the middle and then you just sort of flesh it out.
Right.
You know, and it's funny. Some songs scream a track number to me, you know, some songs it's just, well, that's a number seven.
So how weird. How does that work?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you why it's a number seven, but it is.
Yeah.
So it's funny. It's just, it's one of those things, but yeah, it's quite a nice process to sort of, you know, try something out. It almost works, but yeah, you sort of just tinker around with it until something really flows, you know, and it's a nice part of the process, I think.
I want to talk a little bit more about songwriting, but you're going to play a couple of songs for us anyway. So what are you going to start with?
Would love to. Yeah, I'm going to play the single off the album. It's called Sword from the Stone. Well, how you doing, darling? How you getting on? Any horses running worth betting on? How's the weather down there? I hope you're keeping warm. How you feeling, sweetheart? Are you moving on? Are you sleeping okay? Or do the nights go on and on? I hope you're eating well. I hope you're staying strong. 'Cause I'm fine, then I'm not. I'm spinning round and I can't stop. I can't do this alone. Time flies and it's so slow. I'm up in town like a yo-yo. I can't do it on my own. 'Cause I've tried and I can't pull the sword from the stone. How are your mom and dad? And how's your brother too? My folks are holding up. My sister's pulling through. And both the cats say hi. I know they miss you too. 'Cause I'm fine, then I'm not. Spinning round and I can't stop. Can't do this alone. For time flies and it's so slow. I'm up and down like a yo-yo. I can't do it on my own. See, I've tried and I can't pull the sword from the stone. I'm fine, then I'm not. I'm spinning round and I can't stop. I can't do this alone. For time flies and it's so slow. I'm up in town like a yo-yo. I can't do it on my own. 'Cause I've tried and I can't pull the sword from the stone.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
No worries.
Mike Rosenberg sitting at home in Brighton in the south of England, a place I know very well. I used to visit there when I was a kid. My grandma lives down there. It's only, what, like an hour or so from London on a train these days? Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's directly south of London.
It's
beautiful. I grew up here and it's a wonderful town.
Obviously, nobody's going anywhere really right now. But when you can travel, are you in London quite often? Do you make that train journey into the city quite often?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, growing up and playing music, of course, yeah, there are so many gigs up in London, constantly back and forth. I think less so now. I mean, I think I'm so lucky that, you know, since Let Her Go, certainly it's been such a sort of global thing that I've been traveling all over the place, and London is just sort of one of many stops. But yeah, of course, I definitely feel like London's my second home, really.
And a hit song will buy you a lot of freedom, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's mad. It's completely bonkers, really, because I was a street musician for 5 years before that song happened, and never dreamed that I would have anything like that kind of success. Really just didn't feel like it was within my universe. So yeah, if I really stop and think about it, it's still completely gobsmacking.
That. Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, it is. It's important to be gobsmacked continuously by something like that. Yeah,
gobsmacked, such a wonderful English expression. I don't even know how to explain that to people apart from like, how would you describe gobsmacked?
Shocked, I suppose.
But
gobsmacked, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. It's probably not an Americanism, is it?
It's not. It's like a smack in the face. You're like,
exactly.
So very quickly, the song that you just played for us, was that already on the album or was that one of the newer ones that you wrote?
Good question. Yeah, it was a newer one. And it was, inspired by a breakup and then lockdown. And I love it, man. I feel like it's one of the most sort of honest and direct songs that I've managed to write. And I think what I love the most about it is the verses are almost conversational, you know, how's the weather, how are you feeling, how are your family, you know, all that kind of stuff. Almost small talky. And then in the chorus, there's this massive kind of emotional explosion of honesty. And I love the juxtaposition between those two ideas. And I think that's one of the reasons it's effective as a song.
So we mentioned obviously that you've been at home, and I don't want to delve into your private life or anything, but are you home alone? Have you been locked down alone, just you and yourself?
Yeah, luckily I've got a couple of cats as well, but yeah, locked down on my own, which again was just such a shock to the system. I'm a very sociable guy and obviously touring all the time, you know, constantly with people and meeting new people and, you know, in different parts of the world. It was such a stark contrast to what I've been used to over the last few years. So yeah, it's been rough, man. It has. And I think, you know, I think lockdown's been rough for everyone in their own ways, you know, whether you've got young kids, whether, you know, you live in a shared house and you've got loads of flatmates that you're not getting on with or whatever it is. And yeah, equally being on your own has its challenges as well. So I think it just feels like one enormous social experiment to me, this, you know, and we've all had to go through it and get through it. Yeah.
I'm really fortunate that I live with my partner and we get along.
Right.
I'm not too sure how I would have managed this on my own. What have you learned about yourself during this time? And is that something that we are going to see in new material or the songs that you've been writing in perhaps the last 6 months?
Yeah, maybe. It's a funny one because you can't help but shine the light on yourself when it's just you and not much to do. It's been an odd experience, but I think probably quite a strengthening one actually as well. You know, if you can get through something like that on your own, it probably puts you in good stead, and it means you can, you know, I mean, I do find myself fairly unbearable, but you know, I've managed to hang out with myself for a few months and I got through it, so yeah, that's good news.
Did you find yourself arguing with yourself about any choices or decisions or
all the time? It's sort of like a really boring version of Fight Club.
Right, right. Obviously, not being able to perform live outside of the house. I'm sure you've been doing a few things like this. We're all familiar with Zoom now, and we've all gotten better at it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have microphones, and some of us have better cameras, and you know, from the perspective of a performer, mm-hmm. everybody in April last year was sitting on their couch and doing, you know, Instagram live feeds. What have you been doing? Have you been able to do any shows online?
Yeah, I've been doing a load of live stuff. And as you say, they've kind of got better, you know, like over the first lockdown, I was sort of just doing them from my front room on my iPhone, and it was like the internet was cutting out all the time, and it was pretty stressful. And now, actually recently, I've restarted doing it every week. And I'm doing, because I've got 13 studio albums, so I'm actually just going back and doing a different Passenger record every week. And it's brilliant, man. It's really cool to go back and, you know, revisit some of these songs for the first time in, you know, 11 or 12 years in some cases. And I think the fans are really enjoying it. And yeah, I mean, if anybody wanted to tune in, it's 7 p.m. UK time on a Sunday evening on my YouTube and Facebook channels. So I guess in LA that would be kind of late morning, midday-ish. I don't know.
7 p.m. you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 11 a.m. here.
11 a.m. Yeah. So if anybody's sort of not got much on a Sunday morning, you should come and join me for a trip down musical memory lane. Yeah.
Nobody's got anything on anywhere ever.
No excuses. Exactly. All of Los Angeles to be tuning into the next one then. Yeah.
What's it like having to go back and revisit those albums? I mean, do you have to listen to them again? Do you have to, I mean, do you remember the songs? Do you have to open up books? I mean, how do you revisit perhaps songs that you haven't played in a live set for 9 or 10 years?
Yeah, for the most part, after I've played them one or two times, muscle memory kind of kicks in. There are usually a couple of songs on each album where I'm like, I just have no idea how this even goes, you know, so I have to kind of listen to them and reestablish them. But no, it's funny. It's sort of like reading an old diary, you know, or like looking at old photographs. It really takes you back to where takes me back to where I was, you know, all those years ago, and what I was doing, what I was feeling, who I was hanging out with, and the songs I was writing really, really sort of display that. So it can be quite an emotional experience. I have to say it can uncover a few bits and bobs, and it's quite vulnerable, because, you know, usually when I play a gig, my set list, you know, it changes from night to night, maybe subtly you swap one or two songs in and out, but you've got your shtick, you know, and you know the songs you're playing and you know the stories you're telling and all that kind of stuff. And it gets slick and you get it down and it's less vulnerable. But when you're doing something that you're kind of winging it a little bit, there's nothing slick about it. And I think there's actually something really special about that. And I think the audience can really pick up on that I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I might mess up the next song. I might tell a story about something I did 15 years ago. And there's something really delicate and fragile about that, which I think is kind of cool.
Well, and it brings an edge to it as well, obviously, if you're just sort of flying by the seat of your pants. And there's nothing like that really as a performer, is there?
Exactly right. Exactly right. And you really sort of, it's hand to mouth stuff. You're sort of like, you know, there's a verse coming up and you're like, I have no idea what the lyrics are. And it's usually you just about grab them just in time. And there's something cool about it. Yeah.
So have you been recording new stuff? Have you got the next album ready?
Yeah, I've certainly, song-wise, the next record is all written and we've started sort of demoing and getting bits done. I'm lucky enough to have a sort of home studio, so I've been able to sort of keep the fires burning with that stuff. And honestly, writing and recording has just been real solace throughout this time and just lovely to be able to focus on something and escape, you know, the real world into a nicer musical one, yeah.
Are you somebody who lives by a schedule? I mean, as a songwriter, do you get up in the morning and have your day planned out that, you know, I'm going to spend a certain amount of time doing this, whether it's writing or recording or, you know, hoovering, vacuuming the house or something?
I mean, do you
have that stuff sort of laid out, or is it more as the day sort of unwinds, you sort of get into what you're going to be doing?
I think as far as writing goes, I think I've always just tried to be as flexible as possible with that. You know, I'll go through purple patches where I want to be on my guitar all the time and I write 4 songs in a week or whatever. And then there'll be a month or two where actually I'm just really busy with the rest of life. And the last thing I ever want to do with writing is put pressure on it. You know, I have the deepest of respects for those guys in Nashville that sit down on a Monday morning and write a hit single. Like, I don't know how they do that. Like, that's not how I create music. So as far as writing goes, no, I'm never too sort of precious about when that happens. But yeah, I think one of the difficult things about becoming a musician and probably doing anything sort of creative and freelance is being able to structure your life, you know, because I think, you know, when you've got a 9-to-5 or you're studying, you're at school or whatever it is, structure's kind of laid out for you. And okay, that's a pain as well, you know, getting up at a certain time every morning and all of that kind of stuff. It's not ideal, but I think you only find out how difficult that is when you don't have that structure. And suddenly you're sort of like, well, if I don't create something, then I'm just going to sort of be free falling through life a little bit. So I've definitely learned that, you know, certain things to start the day are really good, you know, a bit of meditation, bit of yoga, a run or a swim or whatever. And that kind of really helps to establish a good trajectory for the day, I think. Yeah.
I had a conversation many years ago with Nick Cave, who told me that he had office hours for writing.
Wow.
And cool. You know, he's a guy who's married and has kids or you know, he has a family. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he still does or not, I haven't spoken to him for many years, but at the time he had an office space and he would get up in the morning and he'd have breakfast with everybody. And then he'd go to work. He'd go to his office to write. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have the utmost respect for anybody who's able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I guess it all depends on what else you have going on in your life as well. I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a little, like you said, like those Nashville guys who go to work and that's what they do. They write songs. It's a little bit different, I guess, from you know, the way most people work. So I know you're going to play one more song for us and we'll probably use that as our out for the conversation. But before we do it, what's the weirdest thing you've had delivered to your house in the last year?
I knew the answer to that immediately, which is terrifying. My cats were getting bullied by this massive black and white cat who used to come down from the farm up the road.
Yeah.
He was an absolute beast of a thing. And he was nasty and I tried to chase him off a couple of times and he didn't really take me seriously. So I had no option but to invest in the best super soaker water pistol that I could find on Amazon. And that was delivered by a fairly he looked a little bit sort of suspicious when he delivered it. Yeah, so I had the super soaker fully loaded with cold water and ready to go, and I managed to take him out from the bedroom window, and I haven't seen him since. I mean, he's fine. He's not. I didn't kill him. He's all right. But he got the message.
Good to know. Your cats are obviously a lot happier.
My cats are delighted about it. Yeah, yeah, and they love me all the more for it. So it's worked out well. Yeah.
Well, listen, Mike, it's been great having a little bit of time with you and meeting you for the first time through the miracles of Zoom. Hopefully we'll see you somewhere out on the road in the not too distant future. What are you going to finish our little get together with?
Well, it would be rude not to play the big one. So I thought I would play Let It Go for you, if that's all right.
Please do.
All right. Thank you so much.
You only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. staring at the bottom of your glass, hoping one day you'll make a dream last. Dreams come slow and go so fast. I see you when you close your eyes. Maybe one day you'll understand why everything you touch surely dies. But you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. You're staring at the ceiling in the dark. Same old empty feeling in your heart. Love comes slow and it goes so fast. You see a way you fall asleep, but never to touch and never to keep, cause you loved it too much. Dive too deep. You only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. So let her go. Oh. Let her go. Oh. Just let her go. You only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hit the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go.
Beautiful. Thanks, man.
No worries at all.
So Nick Harcourt here in Los Angeles and 8 hours away when we're recording this in Brighton in the south of England. My guest is Mike Rosenberg, passenger. And thanks for spending a part of your Wednesday evening with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, mate, it's been a real pleasure. Lovely to meet you and I really appreciate your time. Thanks,
mate. Likewise. I hope to see you soon. Thanks, mate.
All right. All the best. Cheers.